Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, the last one before Christmas, the last one of 2017, in fact. Brad here with Dalton. Dalton, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good, you know. Trying to survive the usual week plus all this National Signing Day stuff.
Yeah, so. It's a little busier than normal for this time of year because of the early signing day period that started this year. So today is that day, and we've got some local athletes who are signing with D1 schools. So, yeah, usually you get close to Christmas that you just kind of maybe covering a couple of basketball games. Although we do have the all-area stuff that we're also winding up. It can be a little busy, but extra so with the signing day. And we're going to talk about all those things I just mentioned here on this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us for the next few minutes. Just a reminder, you can access this program in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at @DJournalPreps. Let's start with some hoops, Dalton. Let's start with Tuesday night. I went out and covered Tupelo's girls. Got to see them for the first time this year, taking on Boonville. And Boonville always has a good team. They came in with a 9-1 record. Michael Smith does a good job there every year with that 3A team. And Tupelo got the win, though, 59-52. And this is a Tupelo team, Dalton, that has it's had a tough go of it as far as the injuries. Now, they've got a good record. They're having a good season to this point, but it hasn't been easy. They lost, of course, Shamiah Carruthers in the first season opener. He's arguably their best player, just a sophomore, but still tore an ACL. Then Jalancia Kohlheim was hurt recently with an ankle. She's out till next month. And then this past Friday, their point guard got hurt, Alara Davis. So it's been kind of a tough go there. That's three starters that they've lost since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them a couple more times than you have this season, and Carruthers was a big hit for them, and then Jalincy Kohan and Janai Hinton have both stepped up big for them. And that, I mean, I didn't realize Kohan was hurt until this morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've both been playing really well. Janai Hinton has been a huge step forward for them as a freshman. She comes in, she can shoot really well.
Yeah.
Drains a lot of threes from what I've seen from her.
And that's what she did last night. She hit a couple of big threes, especially in the second quarter. Tupelo started really slow. They were trailing like 13-5 at one point. And then, and this was key, Shamiah Williams, one of Boonville's best players, maybe their best player, got in foul trouble. She sat pretty much the entire second quarter, most of it anyway. And that's when Tupelo started to find a rhythm offensively. They hit 6 3-pointers during the second quarter. I believe Hinton had a couple of those. And talk about balance. Sarah Frelo, their big post player, had 13 points, but they had 4 players with 8 points. You had, as I mentioned, Hinton, and then you had Randasia Creighton also at 8 points, DeKinsey Sharp. Those are both sophomores. Hinton is a freshman. And then Hallie Traylor, another freshman, had 8 points, and she hit a couple of threes during that run, too.
Yeah, that's what it's been like every game I've seen them. I don't think anybody in a game I've seen them scored over 13, 15 points.
You know, right.
There's usually a lot of people that are around 9 to 12, 9 to 13.
Yeah.
And I guess that's maybe the youth of their team. I know you were big on the youth and just the sheer talent of everybody together. Yeah. No one really sticks out.
Yeah, they've got a lot of young talent on that team, which could bode well for the future, especially when they get Carruthers back next year. And like as I said, Kohlheim and Davis are both expected back sometime next month. So that'll certainly give Tupelo a boost. 10-3 record after that win. And sticking with Tupelo, the boys, they also won last night over Boonville 77-62. Had to do it without their point guard. This was an even more serious situation than all those injuries for the girls. LaDevin Allen woke up early Tuesday morning about 1:30, 1:45. His house was on fire. And he managed to escape. He was injured. He had some third-degree burns and had a pretty bad laceration on his right arm. And so he's had to have Coach Jeff Norwood told me last night, Tuesday night, that he'd had a couple of surgeries already. They sent him to Memphis, initially here in Tupelo. Then they took him up to Memphis to treat the burns. And he's had a couple of surgeries. With something like that, when you cut your forearm like that, it can cause some real nerve damage.
Yeah, there. It's a terrible story, and
yeah, it is.
I'm hoping he gets better, and I mean, that's all I can really say about it, just how terrible it is.
Yeah, and, you know, it just happens right before Christmas. He was the only one home, but he got out. The house appears to be a loss, but the you know, it's cool to see how people respond to this sort of tragedy. Last night at the game, they raised more than $2,000 for the family. So they're going to try to help out LaDevin Allen and his family as they get through this tough time. And thoughts and prayers with him and his folks, certainly, as they go forward. Just hope he continues to recover up there in Memphis. And, you know, his playing career probably done. He's a senior. He's a big part of the team as the point guard. But Tupelo is going to try to carry on without him. Kind of a group effort as far as replacing him at that position. They've got some several options there, like Josh King would be one of those. He's a senior. Got a couple of seniors that are going to try to step in and take his place. I mentioned Josh King, also Taj Crump, and then a freshman, DeAndre Hampton, who I think is a promising young player. Just, you know, he's a freshman. But and Crump actually usually plays the four, but they're going to try to make it work without him. So that's an update there on LaDevin Allen. And Tupelo back in action Thursday, going to host Provine. I'll be at that game. Usually Provine has a pretty solid squad coming up from Jackson there. That game, by the way, I believe it's been moved up, but the girls at 5, boys at 6:30. Just FYI to everybody, because, you know, got the holidays coming. Want to get Provine back home, I guess, early as they can. That's a long trip for them. Let's talk about Holka's boys. I guess we talked about them last week after they beat Ingemar. I got to go see them again on Saturday. Biggersville had a Christmas tournament on Saturday, and I watched Holka take on Corinth. And once again, Holka looks really good.
Yeah, I haven't all seen around. I haven't seen him yet, but from what I've seen in the paper and on Twitter and everything, they are a pretty solid team.
A very solid team. And as I've mentioned before, it's not just Medarius Hobson. I mean, he's kind of the go-to guy, but Deshaun Berry is a very good 1A option there to score. He had 17 points in that game. I believe Hobson ended up with 20. But he's a Berry. I love the way he plays. He's just really, from the get-go, attacked the rim. He got he's a guard, but he got, I think, 12 of his 17 points in the paint, just, you know, driving layups and that sort of thing. And so he really was aggressively leading that offensive attack. As Holka beat Corinth there on Saturday, the final score was 68-59. And Corinth, man, they've had a tough go of it. They played a really tough schedule. They just haven't been able to find whatever they're looking for. And they got some talent on that team.
Yeah, and I was gonna bring that up as well. It's just kind of their slow start, and I'll be able to see them Friday. I'm excited to see that because
Tata Strickland.
I'm excited to see him and John D. Warren because I've heard nothing but great things about them on the court. But hopefully they can kind of turn that around. You know, the division play is going to start here in the next month or so. I don't know. They might have already started. I know some teams have.
Some teams have.
But hopefully they can turn that around by then, and, you know, get back to winning.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Holka off to a good start. Not surprising there in 1A. Let's talk a couple of other things to do with basketball real quick. On Friday, South Pontotoc and East Webster, their boys and girls teams are going to play each other, but not here. They're going to be in Knightstown, Indiana. They're going to play at the Hoosier Gym, which is, of course, where they filmed the movie Hoosiers. That's where the Hickory Huskers played their home games in that movie. It's an old gym. It dates back almost 100 years. I forget the name of the actual high school that used it. But now they just they host a bunch of games like this. Teams from Indiana or from around the country will come in and play throughout the season. And so that day, Friday, those are the only games that are going to be South Pontotoc against East Webster. East Webster coach Michael Seeger coaches the boys and girls. He'd taken Hickory Flat up to Indiana once before when he was coaching there, took him to Carmel, Indiana, took him to some basketball academy up there. But so he wanted to take East Webster. And it's funny, his assistant coach is John Ginn, used to be head coach at Pontotoc. And John was up there with his son, Jacob, I think this past summer, and they went to visit the Hoosier Gym, and they were like, hey, you know, it'd be fun to play here. And the people running the place told them, well, okay, come on, you know. They invited them. So they tried to find a team from Indiana, couldn't find anybody that would make it work for the dates that they needed to go. So they just took the South Pontotoc game and moved it up there. And South Pontotoc was more than happy. The coach, girls coach Bill Russell and boys coach Shane Murphy, both very excited about it. It's a pretty cool trip.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think if they asked me to go up there and play, I would be ecstatic about it too.
Yeah, yeah. Although a bunch of these kids apparently had never seen Hoosiers. A bunch of their players had not seen it because, you know, think about it. That movie came out way before they were born.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have to blame some poor parenting maybe on the fact that they haven't seen that movie. No, but it'll be really cool for them to get some basketball history, to see that, and just to see some cool Hollywood history. And, of course, the movie's based on a real team. Milan, I think, was the name of the team back in whenever it was, the 54 or something like that, the small school, winning the state championship when they played it. All classes played in the state tournament back then. So look for that story. That's going to run Thursday or Friday in the Journal. And real quick, we haven't done this yet because we're just getting out from under football, but we do have basketball rankings that we'll be doing shortly, probably the first of the year, once we get a handle on things, get all area and all the other football stuff out of the way, and then we'll have some rankings that we'll do top 10 just overall, boys and girls. And so I've been kind of doing some homework this week on who should be the top teams, and certainly it could change a little. So I kind of put together some tentative rankings just for my own enlightenment, just for myself, which I'm not going to reveal them all here or anything, but and this could certainly change. But like, I think here's what I know, Dalton. I think I know who the best teams are in boys and girls as far as the top team. Like the top team in boys to me is Okolona.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't think that's – I mean, they've beaten Tupelo. They've beaten Starkville. The only loss came to Fayette Ware out of Tennessee, mm-hmm. like 10 points in that Lighthouse Classic, I think it was.
It was. Right? That's correct.
And girls, to me, Ingomar is an easy pick, okay? Two-time defending 2A state champ. They're undefeated, I believe, this season. They've got all these players back from last year.
Plus some.
And the year before. And they've got Jatisha Jones, the Pontotoc transfer. She's a pretty good player. So, to me, those are clear-cut number ones, okay?
No doubt.
Certainly subject to change. But, you know, some other teams to look out for in boys, I mean, Starkville, 6-3, but off to a good start. Beat Tupelo pretty handily the other night. Tupelo, it's going to be interesting to see how this team goes. I can't really decide where to put them yet.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them a couple times, and they don't have anybody that just can just go out there and just put up 25 points. They kind of struggle sometimes, like against Starkville. Starkville, very good defensively, but Tupelo really just couldn't make a shot. They couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I think I think in the second quarter they had like 7 or 8 field goals. The rest of the game they might have had 4. And it was just a rough night shooting for them. But yeah, going forward, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. And then you've got teams like Ripley, which I think Ripley lost its first game last night to Senatobia. Started off 9-0. That's a very good team. Saltillo's off to a great start. Oxford, I believe, is still undefeated. New Site is having another great season there with Rick Howell at the helm. We mentioned Holka off to a really good start. Ingomar, Wheeler, those are just a few of the teams that are in the mix.
Saltillo kind of stands out to me right there. I know they're really good. I've seen them play already. They're going to be a very talented team this year.
And that's without Javen Humphrey, who transferred back to Tupelo this year. Played for them the last couple of years. I think he played at Tupelo as a freshman, went to Saltillo, now he's back. So that was a big loss for Saltillo, but still off to a good start. Look at the girls' side. Of course, I mentioned Ingomar. I mean, Starkville, a really good team. Pine Grove, probably the best 1A team in the state. Expect them to contend for another state title. Tupelo, even with all these injuries, is a team to watch out for. And you got some other usual suspects like Belmont, and Ripley and Newsite and so on and so forth. So it's kind of, like I said, the top teams to me are pretty clear with Okolona's boys and Ingomar's girls. Get past that and it's kind of, kind of shuffle them around, just try to figure out the best you can, looking at the strength of schedule and who's beating who. And, you know, we'll hopefully have a pretty good handle on it by the time we actually do these rankings, which I think will come out right around the new year.
Yeah.
So look for those in a couple of weeks. What else we got to talk about? Football real quick. Dalton, the Mississippi-Alabama game, you weren't there, but we had a guy covering it. Mississippi, the game was tied at 7 at halftime, and then second half just Mississippi runs away with it 42-7. You talked to some local players that were at that game, though.
Yeah, I talked to Peter Gray and Jet Johnson, both from Tupelo, and Peter said that whenever they came back out in the second half that Alabama was just down. Seemed like they didn't want to be there, I guess. And he said they came out just like they did in the first half. And, I mean, it showed. They went out Kenny Gainwell, Yazoo County's Kenny Gainwell. Memphis commit had a huge game.
Yeah, he's a good player.
West Point's Marcus Murphy had over 100 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
And I think Patrick Shegog from South Panola had another touchdown. It's just that second half, they outscored Alabama 35-0.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a lot
yeah.
To get beat that bad after all week that Alabama – everybody was saying Alabama was going to beat them.
Well, and Alabama has dominated the series, so that's kind of, mm-hmm. you know, and they do have a lot of good players in that state, but Mississippi does too.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I was they played 31 times. The only 2 years they played in Mississippi, Mississippi has won.
There you go.
This year was the biggest Mississippi win in the history of the game. So
yeah, so home field advantage there. And you mentioned Marcus Murphy. Let's talk about signing day. The early signing period started today. Marcus actually got a jump start because he had his little ceremony on Tuesday, and you went to that. And I guess probably the biggest benefit of that and covering it is that we confirmed what we pretty much already knew, that he's sticking with Mississippi State.
Yeah, there was a couple of rumors last week that popped up, said he might flip to Tennessee, but he shut it down real quick. As we walked into the auditorium, it wasn't even like hats laid out. It was just Mississippi State stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And we asked him about it, of course, afterwards, and he just said, "You see where I'm signing to."
Yeah.
And then just, that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he, for all the big D1 guys, there was no really questions. He was probably the biggest one. Cole Smith had there was a few rumors about him flipping from Pontotoc,
yeah.
But he apparently has stayed true and is expected to sign with LSU today at 1.
You're headed there right after we finish recording this.
I am.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jet Johnson and Peter Gray both signing today at the same time at 5. Jet is obviously supposed to go to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And then Peter Gray's already signed his with UTSA, I saw on Twitter. I guess he's just going to sign a piece of paper at the ceremony.
Yeah, Texas San Antonio. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So, yeah, so those are kind of the main guys from here as far as signing with some D1, big D1 programs. All area, I mentioned earlier, is coming out this Sunday. John Pitts is, as I speak, is on the way to start putting that page together, get a head start on it. We've talked about it a couple of times. We've got our players of the year, offensive, defensive, two-way player of the year. We've got coach of the year. We've got, as I mentioned before, if you didn't hear it, we've got 12 players for the large school, all area team, 12 for the small school. Just like with the rankings, 4A through 6A, 1A through 3A. And I think it worked out pretty well this year. I'm sure some people might disagree with one or two picks, but, you know.
It happens.
It happens. I mean, this is an elite squad, okay? It's not like your all-division teams where you got 20-something kids on there. And that's a good thing to have, and that is what it is. But this is something – just something different and a little more exclusive, and it was tough. We had to leave some kids off that you can make really good arguments for. Okay, and certainly I welcome any feedback, civil feedback, on that sort of thing. But that comes out Sunday's paper, so look for that there. Let's wrap up the show here. Athletes of the week. We do this every week. We select a male and female athlete for their accomplishments in their particular sport. Female athlete of the week. I really hope I pronounced this right. Ardastiny Harris. From Hickory Flat.
That's better than I would have done it, I think.
Well, anyway, she had 41 points in just 3 quarters in a 78-51 win over Hamilton on Monday at the South Pontotoc Christmas Classic. Came back Tuesday. Hickory Flat lost Tuesday 56-35 to Columbus. So that's a 6A school. Hickory Flat, what is their 1A? But she had 19 points in that game, so 60 points over the last 2 games for young Miss Harris there at Hickory Flat. Male Athlete of the Week, I've seen this kid a couple of times lately, Deshaun Berry of Holka. He had 27 points Tuesday night in a win over Pontotoc, 88-50 the final. He had 12 points Monday in a win over Houston, and I mentioned earlier that against Corinth on Saturday he had 17 points. I just like the way he plays. So congrats to those two for being Prep Rally Athletes of the Week, and that's it for this episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks, which is, what, the 3rd of January. We'll be off next week. So Merry Christmas to everybody, and to you, Dalton. Happy New Year, all that good stuff. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.